Welcome back to Shattering Missile. Referring to the idiocy of the founder of the religion that is promoted by the pooper. That would be Paul, who is author of half of the Christian New Testament. We have Kirk back with us as well. How are you, Kirk?
I'm fine. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Good morning. I wanted to return to Galatians 2:5. It reminds me a lot of what the idiocy, again, of what the Pope was saying. He said, you know, this is what he wrote. He says, to whom neither to a moment or hour we submitted in order that the truth of God might continue to be associated among you. Now, he started with the false brothers. Remember that, who stereotypically sneaked into the room. And then he goes from there to identifying these individuals to whom they did not submit as the ones who had a reputation, who had done something in their past, then that something in their past that had made them very highly esteemed and extraordinarily important among this group. The group that would be at the Jerusalem Summit, is there a fairly short list of individuals who had been part of something in the past that made them more important than the rest?
Well, yeah, there were the disciples and the inner circle, probably. It is maximum point, probably about 70 of them.
Yeah, so if you were to establish importance, are you as important as Moses?
No.
Okay. Am I as important as David Dode?
No.
No. Are you more important than Montaigne Matthew?
I don't think so.
No. Am I more important than Yao Kahn and John?
I would have a hard time selling that, yeah.
Yep, yep. I wouldn't even for a nanosecond apply the importance of particularly the Hebrew prophets, but even the disciples. I think Jacob, Shimon Kefesh, Yao Kanan, Matanya, they were vastly more important than you and I, because where you and I get our revelation from Yahweh's testimony, and that's pretty good stuff.
Right.
They actually lived with the Yahweh right in their presence, right there, the living manifestation of the Word, right? So to say that they weren't more important is just to be ignorant of the way that Yahweh goes about communicating his testimony. Are you aware of any place where Yahweh said, yeah, I'm going to dispose with people that I choose, and I'm just going to lay it all out. I don't care if anybody bothers to write it down, but I'm going to dispense with humans in the conveyance of my message.
No, he never. Otherwise, he could have done it a lot better with a Moloch.
Yeah, absolutely. It was better in the sense of...
In the sense that declared it.
Yeah, in the sense of...
Unmistakable what he said, but I don't think it... he liked to do it with people, of course.
Yeah, he could have programmed us with a USB port.
Yes.
And he could have just plugged it in, couldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He could have put a CD-ROM in us and just gave us the disc.
If you want a robot, yes, he could.
Yeah, he could have, rather than give us free will, he could have given us a program where every last nuance of the Torah was as much a part of our DNA as the genome, couldn't it?
But no free will.
But no free will. So it wouldn't have been better. It had been more accurate. It had been more complete. It had been impossible to corrupt or ignore the message, correct?
Right.
But, yeah, it was about free will, so you've got to be able to corrupt and ignore the message. So there is no place in human history where Yahweh has not chosen individuals to communicate through. So the likes of Moshe, Moses, and Dode, David, and Shimon Kefesh, Peter, I mean, these are extraordinary individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the ones that he said we didn't submit, we didn't acknowledge, and that by not submitting to these individuals, this is somehow a heroic act where that by not acknowledging the essential importance of these individuals, somehow Paul liberated believers? How's that possible?
Oh, yeah. That makes total sense, doesn't it?
Right. So if, first of all, not submit is a stupid concept. Where in, of all of the people that Yahweh has chosen to reveal himself through, where does he once tell us to submit to those individuals?
Never. That's why he hates the word rabbi.
Yeah, because it speaks of an elevated individual. That's the Lord in Roman Catholic parlance. So, is there a single place where Yahweh representatives, these prophets, for example, the disciples, is there any place where they write, you need to submit to me?
Not at all.
So what is Paul talking about here in terms of we did not submit? When does God's representative ever tell us to submit to them?
Nowhere. We've already discussed so many times command not being a word. Lord is not his title.
Yeah. Obey, which is the concept. Obedience is the ingredients of submission. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even exist in Hebrew. When does Yahweh tell us to submit to him?
Never does. It's a voluntary act. It's an act of volition.
Right. Yeah. It's a choice. So what in the world is Paul talking about that the very emissaries of Yahusha, those that he chose, because Paul's already, called the Old Testament pornography, so that's all that gets rid of all of those prophets. So of the more recent ones, the ones he just met with, the disciples who spoke for Yahusha, who at least conveyed to us what Yahusha said, he is saying, no, we didn't pay any attention to them, and we didn't submit to them. Well, of course you didn't submit to them. They don't want you to submit.
No. But they didn't ask you to be circumcised either.
So who would you turn to if you wanted to know what Yahweh or Yahusha said if it wasn't the prophets, the Hebrew prophets, and the apostles?
And there's no place to go. That's the whole story. That's the only place you can find the story.
There's no one else, is there?
No.
And in fact, you can't go to Paul even. Let's just say that you were irrational and you wanted to include Paul as a source of Scripture. Well, you couldn't go to Paul because Paul never once accurately communicates what Yahweh said in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, and he never once quotes Yahusha. So how would you even know what the Word of God was if it weren't for those individuals that he's just demeaned?
Correct. So that's why I go to the churches. They quote Paul.
Right. Wow. You know, if we could just rant here a moment longer.
Sure.
This whole line of thinking is pathetic. If these imposters had to be sneaky to get into the room, if their mission was simply to spy on Shaul, as he claims, why is not surrendering to them being presented as a heroic and selfless act which was required to bring us the truth? You know, they were false. So what was Paul accomplishing here that had any value unless they were, in fact, the disciples?
Well, this is also the people that stood up in front of thousands, well, at least hundreds and hundreds of people, and spoke about Shavua, and had no fear. Why would they be sneaking around now?
Were there any rabbis who were influential in the initial ecclesias, the calling out of the following of the way, of those who benefited from Yahusha? Were there any rabbis in that group?
There's none that I'm aware of.
It's certainly none that claimed to continue to be a rabbi. If there was a former rabbi, they were a former rabbi. They're not a rabbi anymore. So none. Did the rabbis at this time bond with the followers of the way, or did they attack them?
They couldn't stand them. They Or eventually it comes to a crescendo when they start killing them and sort of burning everything they wrote.
Right. So this notion that Paul is trying to advance, that somehow these people, not Paul, but the Christians, that they were Judaizers, they were rabbinic types, they were types that were loyal to the Talmud or whatever, there would have been zero of them.
No, I mean, they spent 3 years walking with a man who attacked them. Why would they all turn around and join him?
Right.
This is a line of logic. I mean, it just, there's no logic to it. I mean, it's an absurd line of argument.
Right. You know, let's see. And what Paul is inferring here, that if he didn't stand up against, if he didn't oppose and not surrender to these individuals, that we would never have known the truth. Now, couldn't we have just read the Torah?
In fact, it was only since you've gone back to questioning Paul the last year or so that I've actually gone back to read much of the witness writings at all, because, I kind of spent all my time studying the Torah because it's all there to begin with.
It's all there? Yeah, in fact, couldn't we just listen to Yosha and the eyewitness accounts written by Matanyah and Yohanan, and have, if we wanted access to the truth, why not just read those? Why do we need Paul to have access to the truth when we could read Matanyah and Yohanan and the Torah, prophets, and Psalms?
There's absolutely nothing he adds to anything. What does he add? Name something he had.
Confusion? A demonic twist?
Yeah.
You know, couldn't we just ignore what these non-named individuals were saying? Couldn't we, if we were informed, be able to filter and make a good judgment as to who was telling the truth or not? Why do we need Paul to oppose? Unless Paul is opposing the disciples, then he's establishing a new religion. Unless it's Paul against God. You know, why is everything here being presented as if it's only Paul against the rest of the world?
Yeah. Bingo.
Mm-hmm. So, Kirk, why is it that Galatians is written as if Paul was against everyone else, that without Paul's brave stand against the forces of darkness, that we'd all succumb, that we'd all be left in the dark? How is it that we're supposed to believe?
Well, here's the way I would view it. You start out with a statement where he says, not for an hour we submitted, and the truth of God be revealed to you. Okay.
Right.
But he started prior to that, and he says you have to ignore the Torah.
Right.
So if you ignore the Torah, here's four things that I can think of off the top of my head that you have to ignore. You have to ignore, first of all, history.
Correct.
A record of what? Of a
very important history. I mean, not just history of
Yahweh. History of these people.
Well, not only that, you've got the history of creation.
Well, I was
the history of Noah and the flood.
Right.
No. And the formation of the covenant in Israel. So, important history.
Important history. I was going to separate that slightly with the second thing is all times that we've discovered this in there, which would not be able, we would not be able to verify that Yahweh said if we.
And these signs, aren't they signs along the way? They're Zion, right? There's signposts along the way. And it's not like the way to the supermarket. This isn't way to the penny arcade, if there is such a thing anymore. This is the way to life.
Eternal, right?
Right. Okay, so we'd miss that.
So now you also have to dismiss all the teaching stories on how to live.
So we have no guidance from our Creator.
Yeah, you got to throw out the so-called, where the tablets of stone, you have to throw those away.
So that would be like getting a car that had all sorts of computerized programs, really sophisticated capabilities, and not getting an owner's manual.
All right, so let's throw that away.
Okay.
So I can reveal the truth to you now. Remember, backdrop, I'm revealing the truth to you, but you will.
By hiding the truth of history, which is the evidence that we need to make a good decision. So we're going to, all historical truth, we're going to exclude from you. We're going to exclude all of the signs that God posted along the way, and then we're going to exclude all of the guidance that God gave us. Okay?
Right. And
now what are we
going to
do?
Now let's toss out all the prophecy that proves and tells you what's coming,
So now you're left with faith because God cannot be known.
No, God can't be known, and therefore that's the truth you're left with, which can do only one thing, and that's establish the church's reputation.
Based on Paul's reputation.
Based on Paul. Well, there's no church without Paul.
There is no church for that. It's true. There is no church
without Paul. What church is there without Paul?
Yeah, there isn't any. No, because at that point, then you'd have to recognize that Yosha did not, and the disciples did not speak Greek.
No.
So now you're, and they didn't write Greek. So you'd have to remove the word ekklesia and return to Hebrew and figure out what was he saying when he was establishing something which has been translated by someone who did not know him as ecclesia. What's the closest Hebrew word, which is what the language he spoke, to ecclesia?
Mikre.
Mikre. Yeah. Mikra in the singular, mikre in the plural.
Mikra.
One means to call out and to be called out, to invite and to meet, to greet. And the other means to call out, to be called out, to invite, to meet and to greet.
Yeah.
The same word. I mean, one language versus another. But now you're back to Mikra, and now if you're back to Mikra, then you've got to look at, well, what are the Mikra? Well, there's seven of them, none of which are practiced by Christianity because Paul negated all of that stuff.
You don't need to know it anyway.
Right, and of course, ekklesia is the Greek word that is changed to church. It's not translated church, it's just changed to church. So so you don't even have any basis for church even looking at the Greek.
Yeah.
But since Paul was the only one that wrote in Greek, the others wrote in Hebrew, and all the conversations that are important to us took place in Hebrew, you are a million miles from anything known as the church. In fact, a universe away from anything known as the church.
Thank goodness you saved the truth for us, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. How would you? Didn't Yosha say, "I am the truth"?
Yes.
And does Paul ever quote him?
Not once.
So how can Yosha be the truth and Paul saved us for the truth, and yet he never quotes the truth?
Well, he doesn't say Yosha. He says God, and you can have any God you want. So he makes up his own.
Wow. So you, Jimmy, you either have to be ignorant or irrational to buy into this verbal diarrhea that Paul is spewing out here. I mean, this is absolute, total, and complete nonsense. It's so thinly veiled hypocrisy. It's astonishing that we were fooled so easily and for so long, or that so many are fooled. We'll be back. So here is Paul beginning this diatribe, saying that the old system was immoral and corrupt. That the old system, which has been translated Old Testament as an old covenant, was immoral and corrupt. He wrote Poneros, the basis of pornography. And he replaced it with his new covenant, which, unlike the old one, which was based on history, was based on evidence and reason,
mm-hmm.
Was based upon knowing and understanding.
Mm-hmm. Through teaching, right?
Yeah, through teaching. His new one would be based simply on faith. Mm-hmm. Believe Paul.
But he's also declaring, if you have to, when you say Torah to an audience that's maybe just listening in, you have to remember that what he's saying is he hates Moshe,
mm-hmm.
Abraham, Noah,
mm-hmm.
Jod,
right.
Yashiah,
mm-hmm.
All the prophets, just all, you know,
uh-huh.
and Yosha, who only quoted from the Torah prophet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So
Paul's approach is that the Torah is a set of laws that cannot be obeyed, a set of laws that is a cruel disciplinarian, that is of the flesh, that enslaves, and that cannot save. That is Pauline Christianity. Now, unfortunately for Christians, that description of the Torah and its belittling of the Torah is wholly inconsistent with what God has said in his Torah. You know, his Torah does not mean law. It isn't, it liberates, it does not enslave. It enlightens, it is, frees, and it saves. It's the only means of salvation. And it is that very Torah that framed every step and every word of Yosha. If you toss out the Torah, you have to toss out Yosha. You cannot have, use the Christian term, you can't have a Jesus without the Torah.
No.
If you remove the Torah from Jesus, you have nothing left.
No, because what else did he say?
He quoted the Torah.
Where's the bread, Philip? I mean, that's it?
Yeah. Well, even when he said, pass the bread, you know.
He was very specific there.
It's a Torah reference.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so yeah, why don't you find something that he said or did that can be that doesn't directly relate to the Torah.
Yeah.
Doesn't confirm the Torah, doesn't fulfill the Torah, doesn't come from the Torah, doesn't explain the Torah. You find anything. I mean, you've got literally nothing left of the Christian Jesus if you remove the Torah.
So why don't you tear out the Old Testament, so-called?
Yeah.
Why don't you take all the red letters and everything?
Yeah.
These terrible people that he's talking about that have no reputation that
Matthew, Mark,
recall.
Luke, John, and Revelation, and of course the books of First and Second Peter, and First, Second, and Third John, and of course James. You got to throw it all away because those are the people. Those
and
are the people that he's assailed. So now, yeah, Revelation. So, so now all you have is the truth from Paul. But does Paul ever preside? I mean, once does Paul ever use evidence that you can use? Because evidence is the basis of truth. Ever once does Paul present evidence that would enable you to know the truth?
Did he ever prophesy anything? No.
No. Did he ever prove his credentials through prophecy? No. Yeah.
So
did he ever quote the truth? No.
No. Did he ever quote Yosha? No.
No.
So why don't you just put it all in a trash can and burn it and be done with it if that's what you really, really believe? If Paul is so wonderful, why don't you just cling to it? I mean, at least Marcion has the guts to say, I like this guy.
Exactly. So, you know, at issue here, is that since circumcision is required to participate in the covenant, it's the sign of the covenant. The inference is that you have to submit and obey the Torah to benefit from the old system. But there is no Hebrew word, as we've discussed, for obey. When it is found in English translations, it is only because they have misrepresented the Hebrew verb shama, which means to listen.
Listen.
Yeah. Likewise, there is no Hebrew word for submit. The few times it is found in English Bibles, either kakash, which is to deceive, rapak, which is to stamp down, or ana, which is to respond, were twisted by clerics to provide this errant connotation. Because submit, you can't get submit from a verb that means to deceive, to stamp down, or to respond. You know, if you're being stamped down, you're not submitting. You're being, somebody is subjugating you.
Mm-hmm.
Submitting is when you acknowledge that you're going to acquiesce to them, that you're going to be controlled by them. That is submitting.
Is
you're giving up your free will and you are acknowledging that somebody else has control over you.
Mm-hmm.
Deceive is an entirely different concept. Subjugation to stamp down is an entirely different concept. And to respond, I mean, Yahweh uses respond all the time. Respond does not mean submit. It means just to respond.
Right.
You know, if your wife says, please take out the trash, and you take out the trash, you're not submitting, you're simply responding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were submitting, she'd have total and complete control over you. You'd have no longer any free will.
Yeah.
So, at issue here is that Torah is teaching that we should listen to and respond to rather than a set of laws that we should submit to and obey. Paul was creating a false argument. He was in debate. What people do a lot is that snowman. They will create a foe that is easy for them to defeat, since the actual entity that they are attacking is impossible for them to prevail against. So since Paul could not prevail against the Torah and still speak for Yahweh or have any credibility speaking for Yahweh, he misrepresented the Torah. He created a straw man. And that straw man is the entity that he, in fact, attacked. So the Torah is not laws. It does not want you to submit. It does not enslave. It is not of the flesh. And yet Paul created this straw man out of the Torah for the purpose of arguing against it.
Have you ever, just to prove that Paul's message is from Satan, all you have to think about for a minute is that, like the Moloch, Hasatan, he has no creative juices at all. He just retwists. He always just twists what Yahweh already said. Mm-hmm. Christianity could never be sold without keeping the Torah's information and then twisting it, because if you don't, they have nothing creative out of Paul at all. Now you don't have anything coherent out of Paul. So you have to keep all that and twist it, and then you have to go to he said.
Yeah, one of the problems, though, of course, of negating the Torah to accept Paul is then there is no indication that Paul's God is the creator. So Paul's God is no longer the creator, because that's only presented in the Torah. Mm-hmm. You can't talk about Adam, right, the Garden of Eden.
No.
Because that's only presented in the Torah. You can't talk about Noah and the flood and Yahweh's disdain for human institutions, because that's only in the Torah.
How could a prophecy preacher sell his book?
I guess.
No prophecies.
There's right. Prophecies. Yeah, there's all prophecies. 100% of prophecy disappears. So there are no prophets.
Yeah.
And so if you're discontinuing, why would you talk about an Abrahamic faith, an Abrahamic religion, because Abraham is only presented in the Torah, so he goes away.
Yeah.
You know that Moses is considered the great liberator, but now this, what is arguably the most influential human who ever lived, Moses, he goes away. He's only known in the Torah. I mean,
remember, he gave them the enslaving document, according to Paul.
Yeah. One of the most famous humans of all time is David. Hmm. And while he lived after the Torah was revealed, all of his psalms are based on the Torah, and he is the individual that provides the best insight for us as to how to observe the Torah. So he's gone. Wait, what do you have left? I mean, if you're going to accept Pauline Christianity, how is it then you can take little bits and pieces of the Torah and pretend like they don't come from the Torah, and then choose, well, I'm going to accept that, but I'm going to negate the 10 statements that Yahweh etched in stone, because I don't like those. They're opposed to my religion, every one of them. I'm going to eliminate all the conversation about the covenant, because I want to have a new one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to eliminate all that stuff about Israel, and Yehuda, because I want those promises to apply to me, not them. I don't like them. I want to eliminate all of that promised land stuff, because I want God to bless America.
Yeah, Rome.
But, you know, the other stuff, you know, the story of Creator, yeah, I think I want to keep that. And you know, maybe I like the story of Noah, maybe I'll keep that. And I'm going to keep the story of David slaying Goliath, because I like that. But I'm going to toss away all the rest of it. Those invitations to meet with God, oh, no, I like Christmas and Easter and Halloween. So, no, let's get rid of those.
Well, you really want a smorgasbord, don't you?
You know, I like, you know, how are we going to assimilate with the rest of the world that worships their Lord, the sun god, on Sundays if we keep that stupid Sabbath, particularly when it's associated with the Jews, and, you know, we hate Jews.
Right. There. Yeah. Now.
We're going to put the Ten Commandments up in every church, and yet we're going to hold our meetings on Sundays and ignore the fourth statement that's etched in stone. And, oh, by the way, on the third one, we're going to call our God Jesus Christ, which is a complete, and we're not going to even allow you to use God's name, which is a wholesale violation of the second, or the third one. And, oh, for the second one, we're going to have all sorts of religious imagery in our place, and that's a wholesale contradiction of the second one. Oh, my goodness. So what do we have it up here for? How can we pretend that's inspired by God and then negate the rest of the book in which it appears? The Pope would be fairly influential today. There's a 1.5 billion people who think he's speaks for God. He'd be pretty influential.
Oh, yeah.
Is the Pope capable of diminishing Yahweh's covenant gift?
Absolutely not.
Is there anything the Pope can do or say that would diminish the benefits that you've received from participating in the covenant?
There's nothing he can do to separate me from the covenant family.
Is there anything that Barack Hussein Obama, you know, the commander-in-chief of the most powerful military in human history, is there anything that he can say or do that would have any potential for negating any of the benefits of the covenant for you?
No, he can kill my body. He can't hurt my soul. Can't hurt my mind.
Right. So what is Paul talking about here?
You know, while we were on break, I was thinking, you know, you of course, have access to some of the oldest first century documents by the witness writings, even though they're in Greek, because they destroyed all the Hebrew ones. When you read or translate from those that the disciples wrote, is there clarity in what they say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when you read the Paul ones, they're just so poorly written.
Right. Matnyah is my favorite. And when Matnyah is quoting Yahusha, particularly in the in the Sermon on the Mount, or in the Olivet Discourse, or in his Yahusha has three really long talking parts. Well, it's his story. He ought to have some talking parts. Sermon on the Mount is the longest. The second longest is the Olivet Discourse, where he's telling us, you better be careful because there's going to be a guy named Paul that's going to come along that's going to fool a lot of people. And then the third longest talking part is his rant that precedes that, his rants against religious institutions. Those are three longest talking parts. When you're translating those, it's extraordinarily clear. And what's really clear, too, is when Matanyah is quoting something Yosha has quoting from the Torah and prophets. And then, you know, it's, but, you know, I'm not so much on Yahu Kanan because it's been heavily edited.
Well, yeah.
But Matanyah, which was originally written in Hebrew and not so heavily edited because it was discarded, the early church didn't like it. It's literate. It's you know, there's a struggle. I mean, in all fairness, there's a struggle. Greek is a really lousy language to communicate Hebrew thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, apart from that, you know, it's lucid. Paul's writings?
Terrible.
I mean,
all kinds of Greek documents here, and I can't figure out half the stuff he says, and I never could when in my Christian days, when I had to read it, I never understood what the heck he was talking about. You didn't have
one way that you can tell for certain. Let's just say that you don't want to take the time to learn Greek, but you want to know that what Paul wrote is confusing, difficult to interpret and understand. Read any one of Paul's statements in five or six different translations. That's all you got to do. Mm-hmm. Read it in four or five different translations and see how different it is. And even in the translations, once you've read it in four or five translations, see how different it is, so that people are having such a difficult time trying to interpret what he's trying to say. But then sometimes, like we've read the King James variation of some of the stuff, and you scratch your head and say, huh?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm still can't figure out who these guys are that sneak in.
Right. Or why if they...
And these guys right. with no reputation, he doesn't tell you, I mean, you don't even speak of the reputation of Peter?
Yeah, if you're going to say, I never listened to the witness of those who because of what they had achieved in their past, because of their past, which is as disciples, that I'm not going to even listen to them, why be such a weasel? Why not say, I didn't listen to the disciples? That Shimon Kephesh, which is Peter, Yaokan and John, Jacob, James were all there, but their testimony was irrelevant to me. Why be such a weasel? Why not just say it?
Yeah.
He calls them all by name later. Why not just say it right then?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a weasel on top of everything else.
Coward.
Yeah. And why not say, instead of that Titus wasn't compelled to be circumcised, why not not say, listen, we still disagree on circumcision. They believe that the Torah is accurate and still viable, and I'm opposed to it. Be a man.